name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name, Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing, no other name, Jesus. Jesus, my heart will say no other name. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be.
Our lives static, but rather he moves us, as he says, from glory to glory. Sometimes it doesn't feel that glorious, actually. Change is hard. But in all circumstances, no matter what we're going through, he makes all things new, starting right here. I know there's some areas in my life that I need him so much, and I want him to make things new. If you have those things, use this song to tell him. Let this be your moment. Your love's making all things new. You're working it all for good. For the things of this world, there is hope renewed in the life that is found in you. For you make all things new. You yesterday and forever, your love never changing, this hope never fading. Hallelujah. My faith is in things unseen, bringing life where it has not been, speaking things that are not as if they were, and I am alive in you. Make it new, Lord. Yesterday and forever, your love never changing, this hope never fading. Thank you.
stepping open. I know I am chosen. I am alive in you. I am alive in you. Heaven stepping open. I know I am chosen. I am alive in you. I am alive.
Sing the heavens stepping open.
Heaven stepping open.
Heavens have been open. One more time.
The heavens have been open. I know I am chosen. I am alive in you. I am alive in you. You make all things new. You make all yesterday and forever, your love never changing, this hope never fading. Hallelujah, you make all things new. Yesterday and forever, your love never changing, this hope never fading. Hallelujah.
You may be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful to be right here, right now, in your presence, gathered with your people. We are your church. Can you do something great here, Lord? For great are you, and greatly to be praised. To all ends of the earth, Lord, let your name be lifted up. And may all people on this planet, everywhere, every nation, every tribe, and every tongue, come to know you, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. And may it start, Lord, with us telling your story. Not just here, but everywhere we go, where we work, in our schools, in our family. God, help us to reflect who you are. Jesus, your Holy Spirit showed such power on the day of Pentecost and from then on. Be powerful in us. And God, where we have failed you, where we have fallen short of your glory, heal us, restore us, forgive us our sin, and mature us, as Ephesians says, more into your image, Lord, the image of God's only begotten Son. We have so much to be thankful for. Our life, our health. And even, Lord, you said to be thankful for those things that are difficult, for the trials and tribulations. And I have to admit, God, it's hard to muster up that kind of a joy in the face of things like sickness, loss. But we take a moment right now and where things are difficult, whatever we're facing and wherever we need you, we're going to take a moment of silence right now to tell you about it and ask you, God, to help, hear our cry, and help us in the midst to be thankful. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing us the way. And now we're going to pray what you taught us, because it's just so cool to use your words that you said to bring them right back to you and say how much we need you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He must become greater, and we must become less. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit to us. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. He must become greater. I must become less. A humble King, Holy One, Friend of sinners, God's own Son, God is my soul pursues to know you.
As part of our worship time this morning, we gather up our offering, the gifts that we are dedicating to Christ to use to help us to grow as a community, to help others who are in need. So I invite our ushers forward to gather our offering. Let us bow our heads and pray. Gracious God, use these gifts that we have brought to bless others, to embolden the ministry of this church, and to move us in a direction that you would have us move. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. And it can be found in your Bible if you grabbed one on page 1320. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserve being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think that they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but receive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow our heads and pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations contemplations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So what does it mean to have self-control? I think we have a video. Yale, do we have a video to run?
Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I'm gonna leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did?
Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
Raise your hand if you can identify with that video. Right? These kids are not really any different from adults. They're no different than I am, for sure. We just have different things. It might not be a marshmallow, right? Instant gratification. But the truth is, this video is a little too real for me because I remember as a kid, my sister, Ange is her name, she got this giant bucket, plastic bucket of Moo's chocolate candies. Have you ever seen those? And she got it for her birthday, and I was not allowed to touch it, and yet it just stood there on the stove, right, for days on end. And so, I decided I knew how I could get around it. And so in the middle of the night, I snuck downstairs to grab some Moo's candy off the stove. And I grabbed one quietly. You know, going down the stairs, you step on the corners of the stairs so it doesn't creak. You know, and so I grabbed a candy and I started to unwrap it and I heard something upstairs. And so I quickly ducked under our dining room table. And not long after that, I heard the creak of the stairs, someone much less sneaky than I, coming down, and it was my dad, right? And so my dad, and he goes to the corner of our kitchen and stands there for a moment, like, oh no. So of course, I'm trying to be as silent as possible and yet still unwrap the candy, you know, and then silently my dad reaches out, takes the lid off the cookie jar and takes a cookie and starts to eat it, right? And he stood there for an eternity. My dad was a sleepwalker, and he would eat cookies in his sleep, but he was there for, you know, all of time while I hid under the table. I should have grabbed two candies. I don't know why I only grabbed one, but I knew that this would be the last time I would ever sneak down. My dad actually didn't catch me. He went back upstairs asleep. But I knew that I could never do it again until a couple nights later when I woke up in the middle of the night again, right? Because that's what you do. I didn't exactly have a lot of delayed gratification, although I was patient under the table. That's impressive. Our scripture today is talking positively about what we can do to have self-control. It talks about our action, right? We are called to do the right thing, and it also talks about this right thing, and you should do it always, right? The best religion is pure religion. This scripture is attributed to James, the brother of Jesus, the scripture tells us, and it offers us a little different theology than a lot of Paul's letter, the other epistles that we read. It talks more about faith in action, right? It tells you how to live, but it also talks about following the law, right? And it says when you follow the law, you are freed by following the law. How many of us agree with that? All right, my dad was a police officer, so me, I agree. The joy of this text is that it encourages that self-control and doing the right thing. But the challenge of this text is that it does not exactly give us a play-by-play of how to do it, right? It says, do the right thing all the time, right? So how do we do that? And the Bible, like our polite society, oftentimes fails to name the things that we might have issues with for self-control. Individually, we struggle, and our struggles aren't always named in the Bible. The Bible doesn't talk about substance abuse or the pitfalls of gambling. It does not talk about overspending to feel good or spending too much time on our phones, and so we don't connect to others. It talks about not doing the wrong thing. But what do we do when we know that our actions are wrong and we still do them? And what do we do when we don't want to believe that the actions that we are doing are wrong? Self-control. What if we can't see or don't believe that our actions are wrong? And what if the Bible doesn't name it or can't tell us that those are the wrong things to do? This Bible as a text invites a conversation, but only gives us specifics on certain issues. And also, all throughout the Bible, there are certain cultural things that right today we may not take into account. So, you know, raise your hand if you ate the blood of animals yesterday. No? Yeah, well, some of you did, okay. So Levitical code says you can't do that. And then in Acts, it says, again, don't do that. Right? But a lot of that was health code. And so in the time, that was for the safety of the people. So what does that mean for us today? We look to the Bible as a resource, but where do we look for our own culturally relevant issues? I would say the church, maybe not in the same way as the Bible, also fails to talk about some of those relevant issues, right? We're afraid to name those. You can't talk about that in church, right? How often in church do we talk about substance abuse? How often in church do we talk about gambling? How often in church do we talk about objectifying others or pornography, right? That's the word that we're afraid of to say, but it's something that we need to name. How often in the church do we talk about the way that we spend money or the way that we depend on food like Cookie Monster? Or me. We don't make space to name those things because we're afraid of what it might mean to talk about it, especially if it means that one of those things is something that we're struggling with, right? That's scary. We also don't take time and create space to talk about what might be feeding into those things. We don't take time to talk about why we may not have self-control. We don't talk about depression or mental health issues. We don't talk about the things that we're trying to escape from often enough, whether it's stress from work or sadness from the things going on in our lives or pain, right? We don't always talk about those things. So what do we do when the Bible is not clear on the specifics? What do we do when the Bible may not name the thing that I struggle with? The Bible tells us something else that we are supposed to do, right? We're supposed to live in community with one another. We are called to live and support one another with accountability. This is where I find clarity. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, it says these words. For this very reason, you must make every effort to support your faith with goodness, and goodness with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with endurance, and endurance with godliness, and godliness with mutual affection, and mutual affection with love. So the end of that phrase talking about self-control talks about mutual affection and love, right? I think that that is a call for us to support one another. The Bible also talks about that constant love and grace of Christ as a call to action, not only for us to love and care for one another, but also for us to name and claim that we are loved by God, right? At the beginning of our summer bounty series, we began with love. This is a reminder that in the things that we struggle with, God is love. If you are dealing with substance abuse, God loves you and cares for you. If you are dealing with addiction, God loves you and cares for you. If you are dealing with an addiction to gambling, God loves you and cares for you. If you're objectifying others, God loves you and cares for you. If there are other things like food or money that you are struggling with, God loves you. We are called to be a community of believers, to name and claim that love as truth, which also means that we need to love one another and care for one another. I want to just name, I know I'm newer to this community, but if any of you are struggling with anything in your lives, I want you to know that my door is always open, right? And I'm going to pray for all of you, unnamed, what you're struggling with, and I would invite you also to pray for me, because that is what it means to be in community. So when we name these issues, it also means that we lay things on the table, right? How can we build up and guide one another? How can we find self-control through the support of one another? What is it that you are carrying in your heart that you may need to let over, let go, and give to Christ? And also, is there somebody in your life that you can go to who can lovingly support you and also help you with accountability with the things that you are struggling with? That is taking a real issue, the issues of self-control, the things that we struggle with in life. You can turn it over to God, but also find others in your life that you can turn to. And also, for those of you that have people in your life that you love and care for, how can you find a way to care for them and support them through what they struggle with? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that it always ends with grace. This is why when we contemplate the table, the communion table that is before us, we know that there is space for us to struggle, but also to be loved by God. We say in the United Methodist Church, all who are earnestly seeking Christ are invited to the table. Nobody is perfect. No one is expected to come to this table spotless, right? But all are invited to seek the love and grace of Christ. This is an open table, open for every single person who wants a relationship with Christ. And Christ wants you at the table, no matter what you have going in your life, no matter who you are or where you come from, no matter what you are struggling with, Christ wants you to be in community with God and with all of us together. So when we come to this table together in community, we are called as a body to love and care for all who encounter this space in the same relevant and profound way. So as we begin to prepare our hearts and minds for communion, Let us join together in prayer. Holy God, we know that you are present in this space, and we know that no matter what we are encountering in our life, the things that we struggle with, God, we know that you love us and claim us. God, we may not be able to name some of the things that we struggle with, and when we talk about self-control, it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to name some of those things that we really are afraid of. So God, help us to know that you love us even in that space. And God, help us to be a community of believers so that when we encounter the elements of community, not only for us in this space, but beyond this space, we know that we are one in your body, that we are made one in Christ, and that your profound love conquers all that we can ever encounter. God, you tell us that nothing can separate us from your love, but you also call us to a faithful connection when we can name and claim those things and seek to change for our own betterment, for the betterment of those around us. But also, God, because you encourage us to grow. So, God, as we come to the table this morning, help us to know your love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. The night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread and he gave thanks to you and he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as a praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The table is open. Come together to the feast.
Cast down our eyes.
us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. Cast down our idols, all of them, Lord. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to one another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to one another. Generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. And God, let us be the generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. To finish up, let's have everybody stand up, and we're going to sing this together one time. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you for the table that we were able to come to today. Lord, we want your power, and we want you to cleanse us, and we want to be a great example of who you are, Jesus. So as we worship you, God, give us that Holy Spirit power that we can walk out these doors and be changed more into your image today, Lord, in Jesus' name.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble.
We turn our eyes,
oh, from evil things.
Oh, Lord,
we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. and God, let us be a generation that seeks and seeks your face. Oh God, Jacob, God, let us be a generation that seeks, seeks your face. Oh God of Jacob.
Place, carry God with you in all that you do. Seek the way of God, but also seek the community of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Go forth in love. In God's name we pray. Amen.
Show hope can rise again.